We're going to learn the Sicha of Pinchas Beis. This is Likutei Sichos, Volume 13, Volume Chelek Yud Gimel, the Sicha of Pinchas Beis, second Sicha of Pinchas. The Sicha starts with a lot of questions on the Rashi. Then the Rebbe opens up for us a new window into understanding the whole story with beautifully nuanced interpretation of the Medrash that Rashi quotes. In the beginning of the parsha that speaks about the sacrifices in Parshas Pinchas, so Rashi quotes the verse that says, command the Bnei Yisrael, where it's going to speak about the daily offering, the Korban Tomid, the one lamb in the morning and one lamb in the afternoon, which is our Shachris and Mincha, morning service and afternoon service. And in the Rashi comments, it says, command the Bnei Yisrael. What does it say above, says Rashi? Yifkoed Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had asked Hashem, please, Hashem should appoint a successor, somebody who should be a shepherd, just like I was a shepherd, and my time has come to leave the world. Hashem should appoint a new shepherd. So Hashem says, continues Rashi. So let me just, again, let me be clear about what Rashi says, because the questions are going to be based on the exact wording of Rashi. So Rashi quotes and says, command the Bnei Yisrael. Says Rashi, what does it say above? Let Hashem appoint, says Hashem to Moshe, before you instruct, or instead of instructing me about how to take care of my children, instruct my children about taking care of me. And then he brings a mashal, he brings a parable. Before we get into the parable, which will be in the next Si'if, will be in the next paragraph. First of all, the Rebbe has several questions on why this verse needed to be explained at all. First of all, when the Torah says Tzav, as B'nai Yisrael, means command the B'nai Yisrael, usually there's no need for Rashi. It says it in various, many places in the Torah. There's no need to explain it. Especially that Rashi once it did explain in the portion that's called Tzav, which is that tzav, when it says command, so you say speak to the Bnei Yisrael, or it could say daber, speak to the Bnei Yisrael, or emer Bnei Yisrael, say to the Bnei Yisrael. When it says tzav is Bnei Yisrael, command the Bnei Yisrael, so Rashi has said in the portion of tzav that it means an expression to encouragement, an encouragement or strengthening expressions means now and for always. This is a continual instruction. It's not just a one-time instruction. So that would seem to be the delineation that Rashi gives, that wherever it says the word tzav, it means to encourage, it means to emphasis. The emphasis is placed now and onwards. So why does Rashi have to even quote these words, tzav is Bnei Yisrael, and make a comment on them? They're very simple. It's an instruction to the Bnei Yisrael to bring this sacrifice now, as at the time it's being instructed, and onward. And indeed, this is something that went on onward as the Beis HaMikdash, so long as we had a Beis HaMikdash. Some explain that Rashi's coming to explain why did the immediately previous portion say that Moshe Rabbeinu's request of Hashem to appoint a new shepherd, a new leader to the people, and then right away after that, Hashem comes and says, tell the Bnei Yisrael, offer up a daily sacrifice. So the juxtaposition, the connection between this previous portion and this next portion is what Rashi feels he needs to address. But the Rebbe says that's difficult to say, because we know that Rashi, if he wants to address the immediacy of one parsha to the next, he does it in a different language. He goes, Lama nismecha, why was this portion brought near to this portion in order to teach you X, Y, Z? As he did when he said, why was the portion of the spies taught right after the portion of Miriam speaking disparagingly about, or judgmentally about, Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was to teach us a lesson. Similarly, why did the Hashem tell us about lighting the menorah right after the instruction, right after telling us about the 12 tribes, leader of tribes that all brought for the inauguration of the Mishkan? And it says it's in order to tell us that the Aaron felt left out, and the lighting of the menorah is going to be was given to him to show him that he has an ongoing position in the Beis HaMikdash, not like the leaders of the tribes who did it only at the inauguration, and so on. But Rashi would ask the question, why was it brought near, and then answer. He doesn't do that here. So that wouldn't be the reason that Rashi comments. Other thing that possible to say, another reason why it's difficult to say that Rashi comes to explain the juxtaposition of these two parashas is because we understand very clearly why this portion has to be said now. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, we're about to go into the land of Israel. I'm not going into Israel, therefore please Hashem appoint a shepherd. So now it's time for Hashem to say the final instructions that he hasn't yet said, because the next book of the Torah, we're nearing the end of the book of Bamidbar, the fourth book of the Torah. The fifth book is already Moshe's repetition of the Torah. So now as we get near, close to the end of the fourth book, this is the time for Hashem to say things that need to be said before they go into Israel. One of those things being, offer up the daily sacrifice. So you could say maybe because there's a double... why does Rashi have to comment at all on this pasuk? What is not understandable to the five-year-old learning if he wouldn't say anything? Perhaps you'd like to say, suggested Ebba, that there's a double expression here. It says, command the Bnei Yisrael and say to them. That double expression... perhaps require is why Rashi needs to give some kind of interpretation. So the Rebbe says, questions like that, he says, that's difficult to say why. Because then in the, where Rashi comments, you know, the heading is also critical. The heading of the commentary of Rashi on this verse is only on Tzav is Bnei Sol, command of Bnei Sol. If the issue is the double expression, he should have also quoted from the Pasuk, Va'amart Aleim, and say to them, double expression, and then jump in and explain. That's one contention with saying that that's why Rashi interprets here. Another issue is that later, in next week's parsha, in 2 weeks, in the end of the book of Devarim, where Hashem delineates the borders of the land of Israel, same language is used. Command the Bnei Yisrael and say to them, Rashi doesn't comment anything on this. You see that that's not an issue that Rashi needs to address to placate the five-year-old who's learning and needs to understand. Number three, many times in the Torah it says, speak to the Bnei Yisrael and say to them, and Rashi does not explain anything. And interesting, the Rebbe in a footnote takes from the Concadencia, which is basically, you can find all the variations of similar language usage of the Torah, and there's many places where it says this double expression Rashi doesn't comment on them, which means it's not an issue. So, which is imperative to say, says the Rebbe, that in learning simple Chumash and learning simple Torah, it's not a question, and you wouldn't therefore need to address it. Continues the Rebbe in the next paragraph. Now we're going to get into the Rashi continues. He says so. Moshe Rabbeinu, you said I should be worried about my children, appoint a new shepherd before you worry about me taking care of my children. Perhaps speak to my children about me to make sure to pay attention to me. And the Rashi brings a mashal, a parable. This is comparable to the daughter of a king who was about to depart from the world, and she's instructing her husband about her children, etc. As it says in the Medrash of Sifri, it says in Sifri. So the continuation is of this mashal is, Rashi doesn't bring the continuation, but just brings these 2 points. It's a daughter of a king who's about to leave the world, telling her husband about her children, and then her husband says, before you tell me about the children, tell the children to take care of me. So here, the Rebbe is asking about this parable. What is this parable? Several questions. First of all, how does the parable add anything to what Rashi has said? On the contrary, it seems that usually a parable is supposed to shed light and make it easier for us to understand the thing, the concept we've said, and now we can give a parable that makes it easier. Oh, we can wrap our minds around the parable more. How is that? It seems that the actual issue is easier to understand than the parable. The parable requires more understanding. In other words, the actual issue is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, we need a leader for the entire people who's going to be able to deal with each one at their level. The Bnei Yisrael have proven to be a challenging people to lead. So Moshe is saying we need somebody who can take all the people and lead them and be able to adjust to each one according to their own, you know, according to their personality. Whereas in the parable, we're speaking about a very limited case, talking about a king, speaking to the, we're talking about the daughter of a king speaking to the to her children. First of all, there's only a limited number of children. It's not like a people of 600,000 plus people. Second of all, they're children. So it doesn't seem to be more obvious that the father would need the mother to speak to the children to take care of him. In other words, when we have Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems to be that the dynamic between Moshe speaking to Hashem and Rashi explaining, well, Hashem says to Moshe, you're speaking to me about taking care of my people, making sure that these people that are challenging have somebody, a shepherd, that can take care of them. Hello, that challenge, I need you to speak to them about me. They respect you as their shepherd. Please tell them about me. That would seem to be a very, very logical discussion. What is really added by bringing in the story of the daughter of a king, and the king says, speak to my kids about me. Kids are just a few kids. They're his kids. Why wouldn't they have a relationship with him? It's not like the people with Hashem, which is a little bit more distant, many more of them. And also, they're not, so to speak, literally his physical... we are children of Hashem, but that they're not literally like... In the case of the children of the king, you know, they're challenging. This Hashem is their king in a sense. So one question is, what does the parable really add here, in terms of making it easier to understand? Question number two, we understand why Hashem tells Moshe, hey, please tell the Jewish people about take care of me, because the Jewish people have been challenging to Hashem. They've proven that they don't always remember him. But how does the analogy of children of a king have that supposition? I mean, why would they forget about him? So, question is, what this parable is really adding? Also, Rashi changes certain things. There's certain versions of this parable that in the original Sifri, which Rashi obviously has a different version of the Sifri, but he chooses to take the not so standard version over the standard version. Here's the difference that Rashi chooses. Rashi says this is a parable of a daughter of a king who is about to depart the world and telling her husband about the children, as it says in the Sifri. Now, first of all, why does he say as it says in the Sifri? If you want people to look up the source, so just say, like the parable of the daughter of a king, as it says in Sifri. And if you want to give the details of the parable, give all the details. Don't just say, etc. All he brought was, like the daughter of a king speaking to her husband about the children. And that's it. It doesn't follow out that he says, instead of you telling about the kids, you tell the kids about me. That doesn't finish. It's just go look in the Sifri. So why does Rashi just add one sentence, the first sentence of the parable, doesn't give the whole parable? If you want to send to the source, just say, like the parable of the daughter of a king, etc. as in the Sifri. If you want to give the whole mashal, give the whole mashal. Don't stop after one sentence. So it must be that the details Rashi brings are critical to understanding the issue. So what is so critical about the daughter of the king telling her husband about the children? What's hidden there? Number two, we said it's Sifri, but there's in the Sifri that we have, and the version of Sifri we have reads a little different. It says like a parable of a king whose wife was telling him to take care of the kids. You see the difference here? Rashi brings a mashal of a daughter of a king speaking to her husband. The parable, the way it says in the Sifri, a parable of a king, it's not called husband, parable of a king who's speaking to his wife. It doesn't call her the daughter of a king. So Rashi has changed and starts with the daughter of a king speaking to her husband. So to speak, you see a reduction in how the husband is being referred to. He's being referred to as a husband, not as the king. And you see an elevation in the way the wife is being referred to, not the wife of the king, but the daughter of a king. So obviously Rashi had a version like that in the Sifri, but why does Rashi choose to bring a version that even in his time seems to be it was not the more popular version, but Rashi chose this version because it brought out the point he's trying to bring out more clearly. Why is it more clear by making this change from queen from wife of king to daughter of king, and from husband of daughter of king to king. Yeah. So we've said also another issue is if Rashi quotes where he's getting it from, there's got to be a point here. He's trying to say, I'm getting it from this source and not from another source, which may be similar but different. What's the issue here? So there is actually another source which we could say that Rashi is pointing to Sifri and not to Tanchuma. There's another Medrash. Medrash Tanchuma gives a similar but different parable about this. It says it's a parable to a king who gets married to a woman. And this woman has a shushbin. Shushbin is a friend, a lobbyist, a supporter, who's kind of an intermediary, kind of an agent between a promotion agent in a sense, between the king and the queen. Perhaps he's been the one that negotiated the marriage or whatever it is. Whenever the king is angry at his wife, so that intermediary is able to placate and soothe the situation down. When this agent, lobbyist, is about to pass away, he asks the king, please, pay proper attention to your wife so there shouldn't be any issues. The king says, you're telling me I should pay proper attention to my wife? Please speak to her that she should take proper attention to me. So it's possible, says the Rebbe, that that's what Rashi is trying to say. Look in the Sifri for the parable I'm bringing about a daughter of a king speaking to her children about the king's children. And that dynamic, tell the kids about me. Before you tell me, take care of the kids. Tell the kids, take care of me. And not to the Tanchuma where it's about a husband and wife, right? So this itself, we understand why is one mushal, it seems to be the same content. In other words, the theme seems to be very simple. When I come and I say, please take care of this and this person, and you go and say, hey, before you tell me, take care of this person, tell this person, take care of me. So what's the difference if it's the way the Sifri says it or the way the Tanchuma says it? Tanchuma says it about a wife. It seems to have about a wife with an intermediary. It seems to be the same concept. Okay. Of course, here the Rebbe is going to come and expand through all these issues with one eye-opening reading of the content here. And the explanation in all of this is, why is Rashi explaining tzav? The word tzav is in itself not necessary to be explained. Generally speaking, tzav, Rashi already says tzav means to emphasize command for now and for future. However, tzav is an instruction that's given to those that are instructed to do it. Whereas here, in our portion, who's instructed? Who has to bring the carbon? The Kohanim. Here it says, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael, instruct the entire people of Israel. It doesn't say instruct the Kohanim. In Tzav, where there's an instruction to bring carbonis, where Rashi says it means now and always, and that's why the language Tzav is used, an emphasis, it says, Tzav es Aharon ves banav, command Aaron and his children. Here, it's obviously, there's an issue. Here it says, command the entire B'nai Yisrael. They're not the ones that bring the carbon. So indeed, the Rebbe points out in a footnote, later on we say Tishmeru, they all have to guard the carbon because there is an involvement of the entire Jewish people. The Kohanim bring it, the Levim sing, the Yisrael, the Jewish people are the owners, so to speak, on behalf of whom this daily sacrifice is being brought. And therefore, there's always what's called Ma'amodes. There's a group of representatives of the Jewish community that is appointed at all times. It's done by shifts to make special prayers and to be specially attentive that the carbon is being brought on their shift. But that's alluded to later in this pasuk. That's not what this pasuk, Tzav es b'nei Yisrael, is not what Rashi is not. That's not what's being meant here. Command the b'nei Yisrael. Here, there's something else that the b'nei Yisrael being commanded. If it's just the carbon, hey. The carbon, the immediacy, the actual fulfillment of the carbon is brought by the Kohanim, not by the entire community. So to answer this, Rashi says, this command to the B'nai Yisrael is about a more general thing. Before it says, let Hashem, and that's what Rashi says, let's look back and see. Earlier on it says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, let Hashem appoint on the B'nai Yisrael a leader. About this, Hashem says, before you tell me to appoint for the B'nai Yisrael leader, you tell the people, to worry, all the B'nai Yisrael, to worry about me. This is not just an instruction about the carbon in the context of what, how to do the ABC of what technically needs to do in the sacrifice. It's about a presence and a frame of mind that you have to instruct the entire Jewish people about. Just like you want me to appoint a shepherd on the entire people, I need you to speak to the entire people about, so to speak, taking care or bearing me in mind. And that's why it says tzav, this strong expression, command, because Moshe Rabbeinu also used a strong expression. Yifked Hashem, Hashem should appoint a people on a leader on the people. It's almost like a demand. In response, Hashem says, you're demanding this from me. Tzav es bnei Yisrael, instruct the Jewish people, also a language of demand. And not just Aaron, the ones that technically have to bring the carbon. You asked for a leader on the entire people. I'm asking you, tell the entire people to be concerned about me. And then he says, it's not just to remember me in the heart. But v'amart aleim, then the pasuk continues, tell them that this carbon has to, that there needs to be a practical outcome of this remembrance of me. And that is to bring the carbon every day. And this is something that becomes relevant to the entire Jewish people. The actuality of bringing the carbon is the Kayanim. As we said earlier in the footnote, there's another concept, how the Yisrael is involved in being mindful of the carbon, a representation of the Bnei Yisrael had to get together, and there was fasts that they did and special prayers that they did to be mindful of the carbon that's being brought on behalf of the Jewish community. But beyond, but there's something else that pervades the entire community, involves the entire community, and that is the result of this is that for the entire community, I have a reyach nichreyach, a sweet smelling scent. That's the continuation. Tzav es bnei Yisrael, command the bnei Yisrael, tell them. So again, the way we're learning here is tzav es bnei Yisrael, command the Jewish people, command them. Just like you're commanding me about them, command all of them to pay attention to me. What's the outcome of that? Tell them that they should bring up the daily sacrifice. And this is a sweet smelling fragrance for me. This is a nachas ruach. This is a pleasure for me that I said and my will was done. And this is coming to me from the collective Jewish community. The Koyanim are the ones actually doing it. But the collective, this is how the Jewish people is going to show their attention to me, by making sure and ensuring that the korban is brought up. And that will be considered for the entire people a pleasure for me because my will has been done. Okay, seems beautiful. But the Rebbe presents that it's difficult. We have some difficulties still which we have to iron out. First of all, how is it that Moshe Rabbeinu says in such a strong, demanding tone, tzav, yeah? As Rashi says, before you command me on the children, command the children about me, tzav. So, in other words, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks so demandingly in that situation? Yifkoid, Hashem should appoint. That's one question. Number two, it seems to be that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for something that's basic, critical, and what's another word I'm looking for? And not luxurious, not luxurious. Some things are critical. Some things are required. Some things are you have extras and you have basics. Okay, I'm not getting the word here. So Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is asking for something critical to the continuation of Bnei Yisrael, a shepherd. They need a shepherd that can guide them. What's Hashem answering? Instead of commanding me how to take care of what to do for the kids, tell the kids, command the kids to bring this sacrifice. What does the sacrifice cause? A sweet smelling scent before me, a nachas, a pleasure to me. Excuse me. It's like, if I may use an analogy, I hope I'm doing justice to it. It's like me telling somebody, it's like It's like the mother here telling the father, make sure that you take care of the kids to give them bread. And the father telling the mother, you worried about me taking care of the kids with bread? Make sure the kids provide for me the after dinner mint. Hello. Bread is critical. It's a staple. Leadership for the Jewish people is a staple. It's not an add-on. And what is Hashem saying in return to Moshe? Make sure the kids bring me a nachas, a fragrance. That seems to be, it's nice to have a nachas and a fragrance, but it doesn't seem to be as integral. It seems to be something more peripheral. It seems to be something more, so to speak, unnecessary. Unnecessary. Something more luxury. Something of a... I think you get the point. So Rashi answers. To answer these questions, Rashi adds in the mashal. Rashi brings in the parable. Because still here, we don't really need the parable. Right? It's Hashem asked, Moshe Rabbeinu had asked Hashem, please appoint a leader. And Hashem responded, please make sure the kids take care of me. We now know why Rashi has to comment on the tzav is b'nei Yisrael, because if you just say it's the usual tzav, why is it to the entire Jewish people? If it's just the technicality of bringing a sacrifice, it should be to Aaron. So obviously here, no, it's more about a mindfulness from the entire people, which expresses itself in the individual carbon of bringing the daily sacrifice, which, while being brought by the Kohanim, creates an aroma, creates a nachas, creates a sweet smell, so to speak, a fragrance for Hashem from the entire people. Beautiful. Why the mashal? Ah, the mashal comes to answer these issues which the Rebbe just posed. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu speak so forcefully? Appoint the people? And why is it that Hashem says, you're telling the people, you're telling me to give basics to the people, how about telling the kid, my kids, to give me luxuries? How does that connect? So that's why Rashi brings this mashal. What is the mashal telling us? The mashal of a daughter of a king who's about to leave this world. And she's instructing her husband about the kids. So here we answer, and it's not a wife and husband and an intermediary like Tanchuma. No, it's a daughter of a king telling her husband about the kids. Here's the thing. Because we're using the version of Sefri that calls Moshe Rabbeinu the daughter of a king. Because she's the daughter of the king, she has, in a sense, a strength, and a strong character. She's married not to the king. She's the daughter of a king married to her husband. So while she's in the relationship of a marriage, so the relationship of the marriage requires the respect and the interrelationship that the leader of the family is more the husband, and she is the wife and goes along with her husband's leadership and stewardship of the family. When she's about to pass away, leave this world, so here, rather than being more quiet and letting her husband lead the way, here, she's about to leave the world. This is her, she needs to take this opportunity to speak to her husband, who's not a king, about her kids. First of all, they're her kids, so she has to do something that's not in the usual repertoire of their relationship. She has to come and speak more forcefully. And they're grandchildren of the king, because they're her children, and she's a daughter of a king. So the children also have a prominence. So this is what this parable emphasizes, that she has a strength of character. She's about to leave, so this is not impeding their usual relationship with her husband. Her husband is a husband, not a king. So her children are grandchildren of a king who are going to be taken care of by her husband, so she comes and speaks forcefully. What does the husband request from his wife? He says, please instruct the children about me, because, you know, they're grandchildren of a king, and I'm just a husband. Perhaps they won't treat me properly, so please be forceful and use an instructive, demandive tone of voice to the children that they should be sure to take care of me. So this is why it's so important. He says, before you tell me about how to take care of them, please, even before that, there's a bigger issue here. Tell them to take care of me properly. And that's in the analogy where we're not calling the husband a king, but he's just a husband. So this becomes even more potent and more important. If he's a king, he has a, okay, he needs his kids for a relationship, but he has servants and everything else. But here we're talking about him as a husband. He needs the kids. So he needs her to tell the kids, take care of him. So similarly, this gives us greater understanding. Why do we need the mashal? Because the parable adds and helps us explain the context that Moshe Rabbeinu discussion between Moshe and Hashem is taking place here. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hashem, put a people on the, appoint a shepherd on the people that will come before them, go out before them, will lead them, bring them in, bring them out, and let the people not be like a people without a shepherd. In other words, what's being emphasized here is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, I'm the shepherd of the people. And how had Moshe Rabbeinu expressed his being a shepherd? A shepherd has to be the protector of the people, protector of the sheep. How had Moshe Rabbeinu emphasized his protectorship? Moshe Rabbeinu had earlier on said to Hashem, if you do something to Jewish people, erase me from the book. That's a very tough statement. Hashem, don't touch the people. If you do, I'm out of here. So that is like a daughter of a king. When Moshe Rabbeinu needed to, he stood up to the plate and he expressed even strength in standing up to Hashem, so to speak. And in that context, Moshe Rabbeinu was like the daughter of the king, and Hashem was like a husband who, remember, all this dynamic is happening by the express will of Hashem. It's just, right? It's different levels and so on. But in this context, Hashem does listen to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, okay, I'm going to forgive the people. So Moshe Rabbeinu is coming with the strength of character, so to speak, demanding like the daughter of a king, speaking to a husband who's not a king, saying, I got to take care of these kids. So now when it comes time for him to, and he's done this, when Hashem said he's threatened, God forbid, he would take the whole people, wipe out the people, Moshe Rabbeinu stood up in that context. So Moshe Rabbeinu is referring back and says, don't leave them like a people without a shepherd. And now the time has come where Moshe Rabbeinu is handing over the stewardship of the sheep. He says, I need a people that's going to take care of them. It's going to take care of the children of Hashem. The people that Hashem has called Mamleches Kohanim, a kingdom of priests, of nations, of Kohanim, of officers, of prestigious people. So now the daughter of the king, Moshe, in his role of strength as being the daughter of a king, is demanding from Hashem, from the husband, please appoint a leader. And let's also say a further point the Rebbe points out is that for some of the Bnei Yisrael who have transgressed many times, several times, the instruction of Hashem, so Hashem is for them like her husband. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the daughter of the king, has to instruct the Bnei Yisrael. In other words, Hashem's saying, for some of the people, who their relationship with me is not like children. In a sense, their relationship is with you, Moshe. You took care of them. And they may have a more obvious relationship with you, whereas with me, says Hashem, so to speak, it may be like I'm just your husband. I'm the one you're telling them to take care of, but they've, so to speak, alienated their relationship with me on some level. And so therefore, in that context, Hashem is like a husband telling Moshe, instruct the children about making sure their relationship with me is strong, because that relationship has been impaired. That's the second aspect we get in the mashal, that he's being called a husband. The mother, the daughter of the king, is got that relationship with the kids, which the husband fears may not be there, and says, tell the kids to take care of me. Again, because when they saw that some of them have alienated that relationship. Number three, the Hashem is being referred to here, so to speak, like her husband and not a king. Because a husband, a father, who needs the children to give him his basics, his bread. So it's not like I'm asking you for something that is a fringe, something that's an adornment, something that's not basic, something that's luxury. No. Instruct the kids to take care of me. That's why, again, the emphasis, not that Hashem is a king here, the emphasis is that he's the husband. The husband is like a father, regular father. Regular father may need the kids for basics. Instruct the kids because I need them for my basics. Ah, you say it creates a fragrance like after dinner mint. No, no, no. Actually, as Karbani Lachmi, the language of instruction that Hashem says, tell the Bnei Yisrael to bring up this daily sacrifice. The sacrifice is called Lachmi, my bread. You know, bread is a name that's given to things that are basic sustenance. I know today we don't like bread. Many people have breadless diets, but basically the word bread in Hebrew is for basic food. Basic sustenance is referred to as bread. Basic requirements. That's not luxury. The carbon Hashem is saying, I need them in a very basic way, so to speak. Again, Hashem doesn't. What is it? It's all in within the context of the hierarchy Hashem has created, and that He, so to speak, needs us, and we provide that. So, just to sum it all up, we now have a beautiful understanding of this Rashi. Rashi says, the Torah comes and says, Hashem spoke to Moshe, tell the Bnei Yisrael to bring up this daily offering. Says Rashi, what does tzav mean? Why is this instruction coming? It should be an instruction only, not to the whole people, only to the Kohanim. Says Rashi, that's why Rashi jumps in and comments. This is referring back to what Moshe Rabbeinu says, appoint a leader, a shepherd on the people. Now Hashem says, you're telling me to take care of the people? Please, you tell the people to take care of me. So that's the context within which Rashi brings in that this carbon is Hashem tells Moshe, tell the Bnei Yisrael to bring a daily carbon. That's telling them, you told me to take care of them, you tell them to take care of me. And then Rashi brings in and jumps in and fine-tunes the details, like the mashal, because there's a difficulty here, such a strong language that Moshe uses. And it seems to be that Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Hashem for something basic, and Hashem is asking in response for something of luxury, not basic. So therefore, Rashi brings this mashal, and the nuances of the mashal are exact. The mashal is that Moshe Rabbeinu is like the daughter of a king who's instructing her husband. So in a sense, because of his position as daughter of the king, he comes with strength. Also, he has to come with strength because he's already proved that he's asking for a shepherdship of the people. He, as a shepherd, has proven that he stands up to Hashem with that kind of strength, because he has to protect the people. And the people are grandchildren of the king. By the way, the king here, of course, is Hashem. He protects the people because they're Hashem's children. But in the relationship, the way he's talking to Hashem in this way, Hashem is the husband. And it's the last chance, because Moshe Rabbeinu is going to leave the world. So he speaks with strength. You must appoint a leader on the people. Comes Hashem and says, in my relationship, so to speak, here, not as a king, but as a husband, I need you to speak to the people to repair their relationship with me, to make sure to keep their relationship with me strong. And it's not just a luxury I'm asking for, because I'm not talking as a king, I'm talking as a husband, just like a father who needs the kids even for basics. I need them for their basics. I need the bread to come from them. My bread is their prayer, is their, in this context, it's their sacrifice. That's my bread. And that creates a nachas. But it's also a very basic need that I have, so to speak, Hashem. What does this tell us? Because we don't have a base of English anymore. Now we have the daily prayers. So in paragraph number 7 says that, and we learn a wondrous teaching in our service to Hashem. First of all, we know that the connection between Hashem and the Bnei Yisrael is, so to speak, like the connection of a father and a child. As it says, you are children to Hashem. And only you, only the Jewish people, only Bnei Yisrael are children to Hashem. In a place which is even higher than our relationship to Hashem as a king, Remember, the relation between a king and subjects is more distant. But there is a place on the highest of levels where it's only, as it says in the, as this verse is being quoted from Mishle, Yilcha Levatcha, you are there alone and no other strangers with you. It's a consummate and unique relationship. Only Hashem and the Jewish people, His children. And this connection is an ongoing one without any changes whatsoever. And that's why the carbon that we bring, the daily carbon, is called the ongoing carbon, the continual carbon. It's every day. And it creates a nachas, creates a nachas, a pleasure for Hashem. And this pleasure is what is actually the very basic bread and sustenance of Hashem, so to speak. Okay. And we know that our prayers do all this function in the place of karbanos. If a person should think forever, ugh, why is my prayer important? And every day, big deal if I miss one of the prayers. On a regular weekday, not on a Shabbos or Yom Tov, but on a regular weekday, one of the prayers, a chleis, a mincha, a thing, an afternoon. So from here comes the answer. It's Rashi. From here comes the answer in this Rashi. Hashem is requesting Moshe, instruct forcefully my children. They're my children. Instruct them about me. They should be careful to bring this, these daily two sacrifices. Prayers being in their stead. And he says, this is my bread, this is my basic sustenance. And this is even more important than when you're asking me. You're asking me to make a shepherd on the people, take care of the people. I'm saying before you even do that, hey, before you do that, I got something more important for you to take care of, so to speak. Hashem tells Moshe, tell my kids to take care of me. This is one sentence here. It took me, I've read it a couple of times to try and understand. I think if I get the enormity here, it's that, again, the Rebbe is saying, v'shezel choshev, tell the kids to bring me my bread, v'shezel choshev, oy Yosef, this is more important, b'yifkei drei l'chol b'nei Yisrael, than appointing a shepherd on the people. What do you mean it's more important? Because in the language that Rashi uses is, right, what did Rashi say? Hashem says, you're telling me to make a leader on the people, ad sha'ata mitzaveh Allah, before you tell me about taking the kids, I want you to tell the kids to take care of me. In other words, it's more important than what you're asking. I have an even prior, more important thing to ask of you. Do you imagine? Having a leader, having a roya, having a Moshe Rabbeinu is so critical. It's a critical need for us. It's without it, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu demands it. Without it, it can't be. We need a shepherd to shepherd us in our faith and so on. Says Hashem, you know, even more important, Moshe Rabbeinu, is that the kids should keep up their relationship with me. The carbon, the kids should pray. I need that prayer more than they need that shepherd. And we need that shepherd in totality, in unquestionably. And that's what Hashem's saying. I need their prayers. Can you imagine when you're about to think whether to pray or not? Think twice. Don't think twice. Think infinity. Infinite Hashem, so to speak, saying, I need those prayers. That's my bread and butter. Not even butter, that's my bread. And when you do that, ooh, it doesn't just bring bread. Bread, okay. It brings a total nachas, total pleasure to Hashem. And that's everyday prayer, says the Rebbe. Can you imagine on the special days? Special days and on regular days. And every day, that prayer becomes a pleasure to Hashem. So we walk out of the sicha with, wow. First of all, the Rebbe masterfully explained the Rashi's in this seemingly, you know, we could have jumped over all the nuances if we wouldn't have had the Rebbe guiding us to pay attention to it. And the hira, the beautiful, the lesson makes every single one of our prayers so critical. We understand that Hashem is waiting for our prayers. So we look at prayer, oh, I'm going to come and bother Hashem again. Some people say, I don't want to bother Hashem. I made up something. I made up a deal with God. I'm only going to bother him with the big stuff. Small stuff. Hello, what bothering him? He's waiting for your prayer. That's his bread. Wow. Let's go and pray. All the best.